everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Shaking Mega Maniacs, it is Monday, November 16th. We just finished watching tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw. It is time for us to gather together for the Monday Night Tradition, the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw post-show here on MegaPowersRadio.com. We're going to be inviting you to join us all throughout the night with your feedback, your comments, your questions to us about tonight's edition of Raw, whatever the heck else is on your mind. I'll tell you how to get involved with those in just a moment. But first, let me thank all y'all listening, especially those of you who are joining us for the first time. If you would like to continue supporting us, please do so most helpfully by donating to us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/megapowersradio, where for as little as $1 per month, you can donate to us to help keep bringing you cool content like the Raw Post Show, the Dace Man Show, All Talk Show, whatever else cool things we feel like bringing you, pay-per-view post shows we've been bringing into the fold lately. Go there, donate, and help keep the radio station blasting through the airwaves. You can also support us just by joining us live every single Monday here on MegaPowersRadio.com, because live is the best way to do it, because you can join the chat room, you can call in, and you just get the live experience where you never know what's going to happen. But if you can't make it here on Monday nights, we understand it's late, people got things to do. You can find the show anywhere podcasts can be found: iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, and links to all these can easily be found at our home on SmarkOutMoment.com. And as I said, we are going to be inviting you guys to join the show. Please do it. Number one way you could do that is by the phone lines. Dial in with your phone. Area code 760-512-7247 is the number to dial, and I'll put you in line. We're going to be opening those up around 11:30, so appreciate y'all waiting patiently while we get the show started, but we will be bringing you in around then. If you want to get in early, dial in early, get yourself in line, and you'll get in as soon as possible. We also have the chat room here on the Blog Talk Radio page. Shoutouts to the folks who are here nice and early. Five Times Combo, Kalen Ferris, Mark Swabby, and Silent Wind of Doom. Cool folks in there. Lots of guests I see. If you are listening to the show and you're not registered, go ahead to the Blog Talk Radio page, register with them. You could be participating in two chats at once while you're listening to us and what they got going on there, because they're always going on wild stuff in there about Welcome Back Cotter and Cheese, and I can't even talk about some of the things they talk about in there sometimes. If you prefer to join us via Twitter at Raw Post Show, Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs, we have lots of ways to get yourself involved. Just look at the info under the show there. I list it there. In the meantime, we're going to get the show started with us hosts here. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. And I got a bit of a shakeup with the cast here tonight. First off, though, let me introduce the regular we got here, Mr. Stephen Hoego.
Yo.
You happy to be here, Wago?
I'm pretty happy to be here. Wasn't very happy with the main event, but pretty happy to be here.
All right. Also with us is two people you regularly hear on the Smack Talk show, and have been here multiple times on the Raw Post show before as well. First off, Mr. Drew White.
On the A show, not the B show, the A show.
Well, I wish you would get an A quality internet adapter so you don't skip.
Yeah, how many times have I given you a URL for that?
You might need to, because I can't find it in the Skype history.
Christ. We're still happy to have Drew here. We are also happy to have Mr. Sean Walker joining us from across the pond in Wales. What time is it over in Wales right now, Sean?
20 past four in the morning.
20 past four. It's 4:20. Well, you know what that means, guys. Time for us to get started here on the Raw Post Show, of course. And the way I like to do that is by asking you guys what the number one thing you took away from this show was. Sean, I'm most interested to hear you. After watching this whole 3+ hour show, what's the number one thing you walk away with it?
The wrong man won.
There we go.
Cesaro and Roman Reigns match. I'm so fucking mad.
And who's the right man?
The right man is Baron fucking Corbin.
Well, okay, he wasn't even in the match. Mr. Drew White, what's the number one thing you took away tonight?
Other than the matches that we'll talk about later, the number one thing I took away from tonight was that they actually made me interested in the Divas Championship match for that main event. And I know Fuego didn't like it, but it kind of blew me away in a weird way, and I think I liked it.
All right, Fuego, round us out. What is the number one thing you took away?
Well, I was just minding my own business, enjoying a good old episode of Raw, and then I got effed in the A by the fucking main event. What? Give Divas a chance? Is that what fucking happens when you give Divas a chance? Because Jesus Christ, that is the worst main event segment of this fucking year. Terrible.
Tug of war.
Clusterfuck of a fucking promo. Awkward ass brawl. Easily the worst fucking punches I've seen from someone since Donald Trump. Christ.
Yeah, this was a very interesting choice by WWE. This show was mainly focused tonight on continuing the tournament for the vacant WWE World Heavyweight title. And we had a lot of great matches throughout the show tonight from that. But for some reason, for the main event, they decided to have a contract signing between Charlotte and Paige for their upcoming match of Survivor Series for the Divas title. Very interesting choice. And, you know, they could have done something great with this, but what they decided to do was trot these ladies into the ring, have Michael Cole looking like he didn't want anything to do with this. They prattled on back and forth about how they used to be BFFs and how Paige was there for Charlotte when she lost her brother. And that's the worst part about this whole thing, is they didn't just bring up the brother there, but to turn this up into the next gear, Paige made some kind of quip about how her brother wasn't strong enough to make it through something or whatever. And this set Charlotte over the edge, dived over the table. Honestly, this wasn't a completely terrible beatdown. This was a lot more physical than I think you typically see these women go, where it's just rolling around and pulling each other's hair. There was, like, when Paige got toppled over the desk, I thought that was pretty intense. But most of it was pretty weak. Overall, not worthy of being a main event segment. And I don't feel like this is going to shine well for these ladies. So I hope they're not setting expectations too that they can't meet at Survivor Series, where they're going into this really vicious attitude. And if they don't have a blood feud type match at Survivor Series, then this was an extra waste of time.
There was a lot of things wrong with this segment. Forgetting what I said, like, just the build to this segment. What happened in this feud that justifies a main event segment?
Nothing.
Absolutely fucking nothing. I can think of five things easily which I would have preferred to do than watch a segment. I could have checked my emails, worried about blank, collect underpants, profit. This segment just fucking stunk.
Why couldn't they just have had a match be the main event?
It would have done better. Like, you talked about Michael Cole looking like he didn't want to be there. He should have brought his fucking gong with him.
That'd have been a good callback.
I don't know if they just went in panic mode because Ronda Rousey lost, and now women's sports is looking like it's on the down low. I don't know.
That's a good call.
It could be that. I don't know if this was just their attempt to elevate the scene, and hats off for trying, but Christ, you could have planned something better. Like, we know how bad Paige is on the microphone. Like, she'll have one good promo now and again, but 9 times out of 10, she's bad of an actor as the Bellas are.
I appreciate her calling Ric Flair an old fart.
Yeah, it helped a little bit. Charlotte, though, I don't think she's cut a good promo since being in the company.
Wasn't tonight, that's for sure.
Like, I don't know. I actually want to hear what Drew, like, how Drew can justify this, because it was fucking terrible.
We're getting tweets in from our good friend Dane Quinn. He's saying, at Raw Post Show, Charlotte and Paige's segment just overthrew Rock and Foley's This Is Your Life and Austin's first stunner on Vince for the best segment ever on Raw. I'm definitely buying Survivor Series after that hashtag Raw ending.
Well, you said for me, so. But listen, I will defend it for this, just for it being something different. Like, you know, not only because of the women main eventing, but I do believe there there's a clause in there with the company that a contract signing has to main event Raw, so I think that's why it was the main event anyways. What? But they did something. I don't know. But they did something that they didn't do.
Jack Tunney rule. I think you are right.
Okay. You know, it's kind of like 30-day rule. You know, mm-hmm. they pull it out when they want to. Mm-hmm. But they did something that they haven't really done in a while. And they made it personal. And, you know, they'll do it every now and then. Like, oh, you know. You could say that they made it personal with Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns, but not really. This is something that, you know, if you knew what happened, you're like, oh, shit, they just went there. And if you don't know what happened with Rick, her brother, who passed away a couple years ago now, it leaves you uneasy as a man. She is a dick, and it really solidifies her as a heel to go up against her. Like, the story really is Charlotte fighting for her brother now, which you know, might be corny and cheesy in a way, but...
They don't seem like they know where they want this story to go. Like, first it was based on the relationship of Team PCB, and then mm-hmm. that dissolved, and that was plenty for a feud. And then there was this whole thing about claiming who deserves the credit for the Divas Revolution, so then you got this going on top of it. And then you have Paige talking about how Charlotte is from wrestling royalty.
Yeah, it's been weird as hell.
So that's like a problem because she's from wrestling royalty, but so is Paige, but they don't really mention that so much because I guess they're not as royal as Flair, so that's fine, I guess. And now they got to go and dig this shit into it? Is this really what they needed to bring to get fuel to the fire to this feud?
My biggest issue with that is if you're going to take that direction, that's fine, but at least build to it gradually. Jesus Christ, they went from going, I want the title. No, I want the title. Yeah, well, your fucking brother's dead.
It escalated quickly.
Well, the important thing is, Sean, did they get you excited for their match at Survivor Series on Sunday?
Did they fuck? I'm not looking forward to this match at all. I think it's just going to be one big, massive clusterfuck. And that's how it's going to end.
It's just going to end in a big clusterfuck? It's not actually going to have like a pinfall or anything?
Yep, pretty much. It's going to end in a clusterfuck, and we're going to have this feud in the next pay-per-view, which is TLC, if I believe.
It does seem like this needs some kind of gimmick match, right? Like, the way that this went out? It seems like it's too intense for them just to go into like a regular wrestling match.
Yeah, fucking muzzle on a pole so I don't have to hear one of these bitches talk again after this.
You know, if this was like a feud that was already a couple months in, and then they dropped the brother dying thing, then yeah, maybe the transition to it made sense. But like you guys said, I didn't even think about it, about PCB and everything else before tonight. So, fuck, it was just like, oh, you know, we're just at the base of the cliff and bam. They just go all the way to the top like that.
And it's just been such a long time since a segment just offended me with how bad it is.
Christ. And I think the thing that made it so much worse is, besides that, Raw had a lot of good things on it.
It was a really good episode of Raw, and then they do that. I think that's why I'm so pissed off about it.
If this had just been one of those Raws like 3-4 weeks ago, we were like already mad about so much else. I don't know if it would have left such a bad taste in our mouths.
It's like you just had a fucking great dinner, and they serve you dessert, and it's just a shit on a plate. Like, I don't know what, like, what were they fucking thinking? You had 4 main event quality matches. Well, 3 main event quality matches, and... Then that. The fuck?
Well, we are definitely anxious to hear what everyone out there has got to say about this. Tell us in the chat room, tell us via Twitter, and call in. Give us your thoughts about this main event segment. Area code 760-512-7247. We're going to open those phone lines in just a couple minutes more. I just want to keep the conversation going here for just a little bit longer with the hosts. Talk a little bit about our opening segment that we had here, because, again, as I said, the big story was our tournament matches, but, of course, we have to build for something else for Survivor Series. So we had our Divas match there, and, of course, the other big main event match we have is the Brothers of Destruction, Undertaker and Kane, and the Wyatt family, who finally had some face-to-face time last week, where Undertaker and Kane just completely obliterated the Wyatt family. So Wyatt family really needed to one-up them somewhat on this week. Druids begin the show. They eventually lead the Brothers of Destruction out to the ring. Wyatt family follows them up. They do their tricks where the lights go out. When they come back on, the Druids have sheep masks on. They go to attack Undertaker and Kane. Again, Undertaker and Kane just completely demolish those guys, as they should. But Wyatt family acts like they're going to go to the ring, but Bray Wyatt stops them, says no, our day is on Sunday, and that's the end of the segment.
I enjoyed the segment for what it was. It's very rare that we get to see The Undertaker and Kane as a duo. Their promo was a little cheesy at times, especially how Kane had made sure he went, "Hell!" every time he said fucking hell. Fucking hell. And I felt like the Wyatts did need to do something more tonight. Undertaker and Kane not just one-upped them last week, they fucking devastated them. They absolutely destroyed them. So, yeah, definitely needed to do something tonight. The Druids didn't really lead anywhere.
It wasn't enough. And Bray Wyatt said that he controls the fire and the thunder now. Well, then why didn't he?
Yeah, that's an issue I'm like not understanding right now. I thought the whole thing was he was taking their powers and this is a powerless Undertaker and Kane just trying to fight back with what little strength they had left. And they've just changed directions. So maybe this is just about a celebration of Undertaker's career more than it is anything to put Wyatt's over. I'm not too sure. Definitely underwhelmed, though.
You know, I think this whole Seth Rollins thing really messed them up. I think they had bigger plans for some of these other storylines, and then after the Seth Rollins thing, they're so focused on getting this tournament thing together. This match might have just, like, why isn't this a Survivor Series match?
I don't understand why it isn't Team Undertaker versus Team Bray Wyatt. There's no reason it shouldn't be.
I don't even understand why it's not 2-on-4. Just have the Brothers of Destruction against the Wyatt family like that. They don't even need to get other
really
people
what
for
you
it.
Wanted to do, if that's really what you wanted to do, that's fine. And still have it be an elimination. And then you could have the final two be like Undertaker and Strowman. That's probably what you want to do, right?
Yeah, I'm guessing so. I don't know. It's just a weird feud that they've pulled together.
So who does he pick? Who does Bray pick to face the two?
I'm assuming it's going to be Harper and Strowman.
Yeah.
That's why I would say Harper and Strowman.
Strowman's got to be in there because he's the guy that's sent, like, unbeatable, or at least that's what the one they're building to be unbeatable.
Yeah, and then Harper's got to carry the match.
Yeah, Harper's got to carry the match because you know fucking Rowan isn't doing it.
Not yet. His time is going to come someday, but it's not on Sunday.
I mean, is there a chance that Bray puts himself in there?
There is a chance it's Bray and Strowman. But I have a feeling Bray is going to be on the outside to do, like, facial things.
I'm half wondering if it'd be a better idea to put Luke Harper and Eric Rowan in there and just run the distractions and the interference with Strowman and Wyatt.
It probably would be a better match for it. I feel like they're not trying to push Strowman as hard as maybe they once were.
I think the reason they haven't announced it yet is because they haven't decided.
Perhaps. Because they did run those series of matches through Mexico. And I don't really know what the exact setup of those matches were, how that all worked, but I do know that they've tested this.
It just seems like such a weird fucking pairing for the for this match that they've been building. For just to be a normal tag match, I definitely think you're right. Something gave with the Seth Rollins injury. I think some of these tournament winners might have been involved.
Selwyn the Doom is saying, if Bray wusses out of a match like that, meaning not put him in, I'm guessing, would that really be a blow-off? That's a pretty good point.
No, you'd have to continue the feud.
Does he face him at Mania again?
I hope not. I mean, that'd be an okay Royal Rumble match.
That's true. But then Bray Wyatt would probably have to lose, right?
Maybe. It depends if they're setting up a feud with Undertaker with somewhere else that can run interference.
Oh, this is weird.
Yeah, like, this is such a weird... It feels like they've put themselves in a corner, which is really hard to get out of.
And most disappointing is, if this is not a Survivor Series match, Kaelin Ferris brings up in the chat, I don't think there's going to be any Survivor Series match.
Pre-show, maybe, but that's about it.
That's a shame.
Is there enough tournament losers to do one?
Oh, absolutely. There's tournament losers and other random guys who aren't doing anything.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
Just throw something together, just like, it's tradition, it doesn't fucking matter. Just put Wade Barrett out there and this guy, they're not doing nothing.
Yeah, fuck it, the Cosmic Wasteland's back together.
Yeah, you could put the Dudley Boys in there. That'd be pretty easy to put one of those together.
Team New Day versus Team Dudley's Happy Days.
Okay, well, New Day and Dudley's are so far done. they're against the Usos now.
Oh, well, Team Uso then, there you go.
I forget the Dudleys were part of the company up until like their match tonight. They've really been taken out of the spotlight.
Well, I guess we're going to have to wait until Sunday to really see how this all plays out. Or is this Sunday, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Right. Mark Swaby says they've just put they've not put one single Survivor Series match on the website yet.
No, oh, I guarantee you it's going to be
they've got like no matches announced.
It'll be a last minute thing if they do one at all.
Yeah, no, I guarantee you it'll just be like losers from the tournament face each other. Something like that.
Unless they put something together on SmackDown.
Damn it, does anyone have to watch SmackDown?
You can just read the spoilers.
No, just read the fucking spoilers.
Yeah, but that means like Tony would have to like get upset about it when we're doing Smack Talk on a Tuesday, and then I don't want to deal with Tony when he's mad. Because he's annoying.
Wow, the old shit on Tony show.
All right, then. With that, I guess we should go ahead and open up the phone lines. First caller we got is actually calling in anonymously.
So oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
Anonymous.
I'm going to mute myself.
Anonymous, you there?
Damn, I'm hated that much already?
What?
All right. Does anybody like Dolph Ziggler anymore?
Is this Alex?
Oh, it's Alex. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when someone has an anonymous number, we get a little cautious.
Yeah, because prank calls still exist, and, you know, Matt Jeff is working in the shadows.
Yeah, exactly.
You say you understand.
But, I don't like Dolph Ziggler anymore.
Yeah, ever since he got pants, he's gotten kind of lame.
Ever since he started wearing
it's
fucking denim.
It's not even
denim.
A pant. Like, it's, well, it is a pant, but... I don't know, the eyeliner, the headband, the jacket. I don't know. Dolph Ziggler fucking sucks now.
I'll tell you what killed him was that feud with Rusev. That fucking feud with Rusev killed him.
That feud with Rusev did just like stop his momentum totally. True. But what it comes down to is the fact that they've given him too many stop and start pushes. They gave him a really strong one at Survivor Series.
Dude, the night after Mania.
Mm-hmm. And You can't just cock tease like that and expect the same reaction constantly. It's done. They've hurt him too much. I don't think he's going to recover now.
Why wasn't Roman versus Cesaro the main event?
It totally should have been.
I mean, we
it
all
totally
knew the outcome. We all knew the outcome, but why wasn't it the main event? We had to see like the worst fake fight ever, with like bringing up dead relatives. Paige's chest thing would fall out. Like,
miraculous, actually.
Sad.
They, like, really reinforced
I mean,
that Ripper shirt.
That Paige said it. Yeah. Yeah. White tits. But, it was nice that they went, you know, off the deep end with the, you know, your brother wasn't strong enough. That's why he slit his throat, you know, but I enjoy you should have died in the womb better. Is that wrong?
I guess there was at least more comedic value to this. You can't really laugh at this without feeling like a terrible person.
No, I'm a dick at heart, so it's kind of funny.
So rare that we get a main event that's a wrestling match, and with a show that had so many good wrestling matches, there's no reason we couldn't have ended the show with one. Or ended the show with the Undertaker Wyatt's thing.
Or heel turn. You know, or heel turn. No, it was good that Undertaker and them opened up the show because they closed the show last week.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? It was like a continuing. Mm. It was like a continuing episode of Raw.
That's a fair point.
That's a very good point.
The Druids. Was one of the Druids like a fucking little kid? It had to be Enzo.
I thought they were all children at first.
Yeah.
They looked, but then I just realized that Undertaker's really fucking tall.
That too, but like one of them was like below the fucking middle rope.
That was just Callisto.
It was sad. And he was standing
probably
the fuck
could have
up.
Been Callisto.
Oh man, I wanted Callisto to win so bad.
I was really pulling for him. I really doubted it because, you know, Del Rio is a big coup for them, at least in their eyes. So the fact that
why
he would
is
beat
everybody
Ryback
who
was
got
a big
titles
deal.
In this tournament, though. Except for New Day, why is everybody who got titles in this tournament?
Well,
that's
I
not
mean,
giving
should...
nobody a shot. They're already champs.
Yeah,
you know?
But if they're already champs, does that not make them good contenders to be the world champ?
I think Kevin Owens breaks it down the best. He says that belt means more money, and that's why I want it. That's why every one of these champions wants to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Kevin Owens is awesome. Speaking of that, what the fuck called up Melissa Joan Hart's fucking vagina?
I'm sorry, say
what?
What the hell did you say?
Underpants?
What is her name?
Melissa Joan Hart.
Melissa Joan Hart, is that it?
Yeah, Clarissa explains it all.
What the fuck I say?
I don't know what the hell you said.
I don't know. We're trying to still fucking dissect it.
I was asking you what the hell you said. Yeah, Melissa Joan Hart and Kevin Owens having a bit of a back and forth on Twitter tonight.
It wasn't back and forth. It was KO said one thing and then blocked her. She just kept going and going and going. I don't have a Twitter, so I didn't keep up with this shit.
If you're going to tweet Kevin Owens, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're going to have a bad time.
And the funny thing is, Kevin Owens just posted a tweet about this whole Paris attacks thing, saying, when are we all just going to learn to be nice to each other?
Fucking love Owens.
It's like, oh, the fucking irony, like when I think of every single other fucking tweet on your timeline, and then you're going to say some shit like that.
All right, quick draw. What is it? Ambrose versus Owens. Who's winning?
I think the obvious finals here is Ambrose and Reigns.
Yeah, Ambrose is going to take this.
Ooh,
and
that's
it's
not a game.
It is kind of. I wouldn't say it's bad. Though, but it's pretty lame.
Besides that, we've already
a chance to, you know, fucking go crazy. If Ambrose loses, he gives him a chance to go crazy. You know, cause whoever in the main event, you know, the title.
You know,
or
you can't forget,
you know, he goes up to Triple H and makes it a triple threat.
Well,
you know, in mid match.
What I say is Roman's already got the visual pin on Owens like not long ago, so I'd lay off that if I was
actually
WWE.
3 fucking weeks ago. I shed a tear to that, but not even 3 weeks ago. So like, I don't know. This whole tournament sucks. We missed that.
Yeah, I like this tournament.
I like the tournament. The tournament's given us a lot of good matches. Mm-hmm. And even if the finals are predictable, that's fine, as long as they can do something cool with it.
At the end, something like, I don't know, Roman turning. But then he's just going to cut the same boring-ass, scared-looking promos he's cutting now. Not unless, you know, Triple H talks for him, but...
Well,
yeah,
here's what I think. I think too. Roman... Here's what I think would be very interesting. Is if Triple H, if you notice, he's been going around to all the guys now and has been baiting him and saying, hey, I want you to do whatever it takes to win. And if you could do that, then you can be the guy. So what if he just spends the last time going to Roman and Dean Ambrose just saying the same speech, and Dean Ambrose just does something so dastardly to try to win that match, or Roman Reigns, either one, they just cross the line, like where it's like, bro, that's not cool. You don't do that in a match against me. And then they win that match because of it. But then Triple H comes out with his real guy. Yeah, but then Triple H comes out with his real guy, Sheamus. Cashes in the Money in the Bank on that.
No, fuck Sheamus. Baron fucking Corbin.
What's been Sheamus been doing lately?
Nothing. Which is very suspicious.
Sheamus is fucking like, he's getting the burying treatment, which you get when you're about to win Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're keeping him quiet, they're keeping him on the down low, and he's gonna cash in.
And then, you know, he interferes in the end, or, you know, that Roman hold the belt.
No, no.
Then get the Bryan Daniel treatment.
Listen to this, whoever wins the belt had to do something dastardly against their former friend to try to get that title and, you know, get the acknowledgement of everything. But then he doesn't even get that because Triple H comes out with Sheamus, takes the belt away from him. You got all these different layers to this now because Roman or Dean fucked over their friend to try to get that title, but then they don't even get the title in the end. So now they're going to, like...
Why doesn't Sheamus cash in right now?
Because...
Sheamus cash in right now.
Because he can't cash in on anybody.
What do you mean?
He can't cash in on a person. It's for
a
match.
Here goes my briefcase. I'll take this belt.
It doesn't work like that.
It's strictly, they've always strictly said that you get a championship match anytime, anywhere. He's got to wrestle a match, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but since there's no defending champion,
It's something they could do. It's one of those rules they could do as they want. But at this time, they've never set a precedent like that to where they could do that. So I wouldn't expect them to do that.
I'm just hoping he cashes in, goes for the bro kick, and he's a spear.
Fuck WWE. When's Lucha Underground coming back on?
I mean, at the same time, they have set a precedent where if the title gets vacated, where they'll just award it to the number one contender. So they could have just done that with Roman Reigns.
No, Roman's a dummy. We already went over this. We're not going back to
that. Okay. With that, Alex, let me ask you, your if you had to pick a high point and a low point for tonight's show, your favorite part and your least favorite part of the show.
High point has to be the Roman Cesaro / KO match. Anything with Owens is top. Low part, that fucking main event segment. Fucking Page Cities ain't come out. And I guess that's about it. That's about it.
All right, Alex. Another fun time talking to you. You have a good night, man. We'll see you in the chat and catch you next week, man. You have a good night.
All right. However times 30, man. However times 30.
Okay. All right. Invite anyone out there to keep on calling in. Area code 760-512-7247. We got some more callers in line. We're going to come back to you in just a moment, but we're going to keep the talk going here on the show for just a couple minutes. Before we actually had that Undertaker and Wyatt segment, we actually had an opening cold open, I should say, with a moment of silence for the Paris attacks. A classy thing to do and everything. One thing I actually do want to note is that they actually completely cut the sound out on the feed, which is probably the smartest thing they've ever done during these things.
Yeah, that caught me off guard. Jonna came in and just said, "Wow, I've never heard them be so quiet." I'm like, the audio's been cut out.
Yeah, that's exactly why, because they can never be that quiet.
Because you're always going to have the one fucking jackass in the crowd going, "We want Cesaro!" or some fucking smarky ass shit.
Or like Chris Benoit or some jackass.
Yeah, like
Chris Benoit.
Yeah, if it was in Philly, I guarantee you'd have one jackass going, "ECW! ECW!"
Fucking dickholes.
This is wrestling.
I remember when I was at TakeOver Brooklyn, and if you remember at the beginning of that show, Triple H was trying to do that whole thing where he was in the ring cutting the promo, and he just begged everyone, "Guys, please, just be quiet. I'm going to do a thing." And then when I raised my arms, go, "Fucking nuts. Take out all that energy you built up while being quiet." And, like, they just couldn't do it. Like, you New York City assholes.
Go to Indianapolis. They would have been quiet. Oh, no one fucking talks here.
Just go to Salt Lake City. You don't even have to ask them.
Oh, no, even better. Go to Sioux City, Iowa.
That's why I fucking, like, hate Smark fans. He pretty much just went, "Guys, you're the smart fans. You get this. So this is what I'm asking you to do. It's going to be really cool. It's going to be something special." And it's gone. Fucking Jack.
Yeah. That's about all we need to say about that, though. We had our first match, which was the match for the tournament continuing for the vacant title. It was Neville against Kevin Owens. A match we've seen before, but had no problem seeing again here. These guys have really good chemistry from what I saw in this match. I think previous matches they had, I know you said you weren't too big of a fan of Wago, but this one was awesome. A lot of cool moments. Mm-hmm. My favorite part by a long shot was that reverse Hurricane Rana that Neville did onto Owens. Like, Kevin Owens for a big guy is just so graceful. And in a move like that, you really just see how good. And also that snap German suplex, just how quick he can move with things. Like, just awesome. This match kicked a lot of ass. Kevin Owens gets a victory with a pop-up powerbomb. Not a surprise. Again, Neville is another guy that you could have done an upset thing and put him further into the tournament, but Kevin Owens is the Intercontinental Champion, and he's going to be a big star going forward, so it's smart to put him far into it.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. This match is easily the best one that they've had. I'm always a big fan of the Rewind Rana. I just wish they'd use it more, but only certain guys can bump for it.
Is that what it's actually called?
That's what he was calling it for a while, so I don't know if he still calls it that. But this overall, the match was just a lot of fun. I mean, I can't find any faults with it. Right guy went over, Neville got to look strong. And if they ever do decide to pull the trigger and put Kevin Owens in that main event picture, Neville would make a great IC champion.
True. Sean, any thoughts you guys have about this first match we had on the show? First match we had on the show.
Man, if you spit it out, maybe. But but I've I really have to share what Wago had to say. You know, it was a damn good match, a damn good way to start out the show after Undertaker and the Wyatt family stuff. And you know, it kept me entertained throughout. Wasn't my favorite match of the night. We'll get into it later. But this was a damn good outing by the two.
I enjoyed it. It was a solid opener. The reverse Hurricanrana was fucking amazing. It's a shame he doesn't use that as a finisher more often. And that beautiful, beautiful moonsault he did to the outside was sexy as fuck.
Neville was pulling out a lot of interesting things. I do think they teased him doing the red arrow in that same corner way too much, to the point where I was like, oh my god, just hit the damn thing already.
Yeah. I don't know if you already said it, but what was that move from the second rope that he did?
Phoenix Splash?
Was that the Phoenix Splash?
Yeah, like when Seth Rollins does a Phoenix Splash, it looks fucking ginormous because the amount of air he gets on it. But Neville's just that athletic that he can just do it in such a small space.
I'm really surprised at the commentating, because like the commentators even put that over at all. I was like, fuck, that's more incredible than he did the red arrow from the top rope. Shit.
They never make a big deal when he does that. I don't know why.
I'm waiting for him to bust
Maybe
out.
Maybe they're just so numb to it that it's just like, oh yeah, he could do that.
I'm wanting him to bust out because he can do a Phoenix 630 splash. It's fucking beautiful.
I don't even know what that is.
So basically, you know the weird spinning fucking jump he does with the Phoenix splash. Just imagine he does that into the 630. Fucking awesome.
I don't think my mind can put that together. He is a freak of nature. I swear.
Best high flyer in the business. Period.
It's because of the ears. That's gets him all that lift.
Yeah, it makes him aerodynamic.
I know you're a big fan of Neville, Sean. Did you pull for him in this match, or did the right man win?
I was pulling for Neville to win because obviously he's on my team, but sadly I gotta say the right man won on this occasion.
Indeed. We have another tweet coming in from Dane Quinn saying, at Raw Post Show, how long into Survivor Series do you think it will be until Triple H walks into Sheamus's locker room? I don't think we see that. I think that's going to stay secret until they bring him out, if they do that scenario. If they actually do a segment where Triple H goes into Sheamus's locker room, then they're not going to do that. Funny how that works, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and open the phone lines back up here. So first one that we got here is from the 412.
Yay.
Yeah. Hello?
Pain.
You gonna say anything?
It's funny because it's a cow.
Alright, well, he gave up. So let's see what the other guy has to say. Jeff!
Not he's fucking like going, who's this anymore? It's just like, get your ass on here.
Jeff?
This is not Jeff.
Oh, it's not Jeff. Okay. What's up, not Jeff?
I'm glad you corrected us.
Yeah, I almost forgot. It's not Jeff. Okay.
It really is not Jeff.
When you tried to take Jeff and JD out, you signed your own Jeff warrant. And I'm speaking on behalf of them. And now you're going to pay the ultimate price.
I can't understand the damn thing he's saying.
Something about pieces.
I don't know. Are you done? I guess he's done.
I'm just kidding, guys. Not really the Undertaker.
Yeah, well, that was stupid.
Yeah, so is he.
Yeah, they're a bunch of fucking idiots. All
right. I love that we've just got to the point where we just talk over them.
Yeah, indeed. Reading the chat room here. So we had another match during Raw for the tournament. It was Tyler Breeze versus R-Truth. This was a meh match. Tyler Breeze wins with the beauty shot.
I actually enjoyed this match.
Wait, no,
I
this wasn't in the tournament. That's right. This is just an exhibition match.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of odd placement. I thought this might have been made more sense as the opener since it didn't have any relevance to the tournament. But this was a fun little opener. Tyler Breeze looked strong. R-Truth did something. Good times are had.
I like the part where he asked the people over there, what's up?
And they said, what's up?
They did.
I completely forgot R-Truth existed.
No, you didn't.
No. Listen. R-Truth's, he has one thing he has to accomplish left in the WWE is to rap at WrestleMania, so you never know. He might get a concert this year.
You know, all the jokes we make, like, kudos to him for having such staying power.
Well, you know what? He's actually quite a good wrestler. Like, people don't give him credit for it, but he can go.
Just his gimmick and the fact that he's a comedy character now is really the only two things that hold him back.
No, he's not even a comedy character now. He doesn't even do, like, the little Jimmy or Spider shtick anymore.
Yeah, he's just a jobber at this point. Yeah. Gets the people happy with a song and then gets his dreams crushed.
Well, apparently he has a new single out on iTunes.
You know what made me extremely happy about this match? Was Summer Rae's legs.
They do make me pretty happy.
See, honestly,
she did look like a fox tonight.
I barely even noticed Summer Rae's there.
She was better back when she used to wear the outfits with Fandango.
She's not such a non-necessary part of Tyler Breeze right now.
Yeah, Tyler Breeze is much better off without her. They're trying to put them together as a duo, and I can see why. But part of Tyler's gimmick was that he's the center of attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why is he sharing the frame and the spotlight, you know? This doesn't make sense to me.
I'd be fine with this if they took it in a direction where they're trying to outdo each other, and they get jealous of each other and very catty.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
Yeah, she should come out with her own selfie stick. It should be a competition.
See, there's ways to make this. You can make almost anything work if you put, like, a good little story behind it. But you can't just throw her fucking in there because she looks good.
I thought they threw her in there because he was feuding with Dolph Ziggler. And she wanted revenge on Dolph.
Well, that lasted a long time.
Yeah. It lasted, what, all 2 minutes?
Did they even have a match?
I think they did.
Yeah, I think Tyler won.
Yeah, I can't recall them having a match.
I thought his debut match was the tournament match that he lost.
His debut match was the tournament match. They never had a match.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What the fuck's wrong with these people?
He needs to do the lounge thing that he was doing it the first couple of times.
Okay, why couldn't they blow it off in the tournament?
I don't know.
Because they're fucking stupid.
Yeah, they are fucking stupid.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, speaking of Dolph Ziggler, he did have a tournament match tonight, but it was against Dean Ambrose. This was another awesome match. Really great back and forth. Ambrose wins with the Dirty Deeds. This sets up Dean Ambrose against Kevin Owens in the semifinals.
All this match did is make me think that Dean Ambrose is turning.
What made you think that? Was he playing heel?
He was playing. He had a lot of heel elements. He was getting frustrated in the match, and then he cut the most babyface promo he probably could have cut.
It was pretty awesome.
My fish tank replacing Michael Cole, yes please.
Fucking breakfast for dinner. More pyro.
He was basically thinking of all the things that make people happy and said it. And he's so turning heel. That made my mind up.
He literally didn't even like actually cut a promo. He literally just started saying things that people would like.
It was like he was running
talking of all rest.
It was like
Cesaro will be pushed. All fountains will have chocolate milk.
So, yeah, he's turning heel. I'm pretty fucking confident.
A little too obvious, though.
Unfortunately.
I'm telling you, this Sheamus thing is just... It's happening. I feel it in my bones.
So...
But before we get there, this match, though, Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler. Drew,
oh, yeah.
Sean, anything you guys got to add about that?
This was my favorite match of the night, mainly because... Like the first like 4 or 5 minutes of it was all chain wrestling, something that you'd never see nowadays because, you know, they just go with the moves right off the bat, but they did something that they haven't really done in a while, and I don't know why. I just got really fucking interested into it because of that. And then there was a spot later on where they both fell off the top rope, and I'm like, oh my god, a double count out. Now they go to commercial. Fuck me. They like they had me hook, line, and sinker just because of chain wrestling, and it worked. So props to these two. This is my favorite match of the night by far.
I do have a daft question. When did Dolph Ziggler start tuning up the band for his super kick?
I'm pretty sure this is the first time I've ever seen him do it.
I could have sworn he did it really recently, but...
He may have. I may have just not been paying attention.
He also had eye paint on tonight under his eyes. I don't know if that's been something he's been doing recently, but it was something I noticed.
I think he's just trying to gain as much attention as he can because he realized his stock's fallen a lot.
I actually like the long pants. I actually like Dolph Ziggler nowadays. He's grown on me. There was a time I didn't like him.
He's always going back and forth for me, so I'm pretty sure he'll eventually get better in my opinion, but for now.
Yeah, man, I can't wait for next year when he has another stop and start push.
Yeah, pretty much. So, New Day came out, and I've said this before, where I think New Day is a great act, and I love them, but every once in a while, they just have really off nights.
Mm-hmm.
And this was definitely one of them.
Yeah, and something that's seeming more and more real to me, what you said not too long ago, is that I don't like the Usos. They're not doing anything for me.
Oh, they're fucking terrible since they've come back, right?
Yeah. I don't know if they're doing anything different or if I just had my fill of them. And when they left, they didn't leave a hole of me like wanting to see them again. I needed more time off. That's weird, because they were gone for a long time.
All right, well, first off, New Day's coming out cutting this promo. There's this whole thing about Big E saying his uncle always told him, if life hands you booty, you make booty aid. It just went over like a fucking lead balloon. Like, it was a fucking terrible, terrible promo. This led to a six-man tag, New Day against the Usos and Ryback, who is basically the laughingstock of everybody since being beaten by Kalisto. So no one's going to take that guy seriously anytime soon. The Usos have just been the drizzling shit since they came back. I don't even remember who fucking won this match. I think the New Day snuck a victory, right?
They won by DQ.
They won by DQ.
I glazed over on this match. I looked on the outside and the New Day were huddled up on the floor. And I'm like, what?
Ryback lost his temper and started attacking everybody.
Even his own team?
Not his own team, but...
Oh, because that would have been cool.
it's pretty awful.
If Ryback just started wrecking everybody's shit.
That was the best part of the match, to be fair, was the whole disqualification and the clusterfuck afterwards.
Yeah, I glazed over this match. I got bored real quick, mainly because the Usos were involved in that segment prior to it, just kind of killed everything.
To be fair, in my notes, it says, six-man tag, New Day versus Usos on Ryback, yawn. Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. So that's how thrilling I was into this match.
Huh. Well, another interesting note that came out of this is that it's the 1 year anniversary of the New Day debut.
Yeah, what a great fucking way to celebrate that, huh?
Didn't they debut on SmackDown?
I don't remember.
It depends what you count as their debut, because they had that awkward one where they were going to be the racist Nation of Domination one.
I'm assuming they made their Raw debut. Or maybe this the year around their SmackDown debut. Whatever it is. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, it's all about the same time. It's been roughly a year we've had the New Day. Because if you're counting that time when they did that one segment where Xavier Woods looked like Malcolm X, like, they were gone for, like, what, 4 or 5 months before they even started doing the... whatever the hell they were when they first came back. They've evolved, though, in that year.
Yeah, they've added a trombone.
Well, they got rid of it, and then they brought it back, too. That's evolution.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. We had another tournament matchup between Roman Reigns and Cesaro. This one has a lot of people hot. I can at least say this match kicked a lot of ass. It was tons of fun to watch. The crowd was into it. I was into it. A lot of quick roll-ups by Cesaro. I was thinking maybe he was going to get it. It was looking very hopeful for him, but it was all dashed. Roman Reigns, of course, pulling it out with the quick Superman punch, spear, and the pinfall. Roman Reigns advances. John, I know you're happy.
Oh, yeah, LOL, Roman Reigns wins. Fuck my life. It's the Royal Rumble all over again. Pisses me off.
Jesus Christ.
Pisses me so much. It really fucking does, man.
Well, remember how the Royal Rumble played out? Like, he won the Royal Rumble.
This guy hasn't evolved. This guy hasn't evolved in 4 years.
Yes, oh, my God. We're not having this discussion again, Sean. Yes, he has. He's kept the
same Let's have this discussion. Tell him, Sean. Tell him, Drew.
Yeah, I want to hear. I want to hear why he hasn't evolved, and then because as far as I'm concerned, he's evolved.
Really?
Yeah,
he's evolved.
Tell me how he's not evolved, Sean.
He's kept the same music.
He has kept the same entrance.
Yeah, he's kept the same look.
Okay.
Same.
Dean Ambrose looks the fucking same as he debuted.
No, he don't. He's dropped all the Shield gimmick. All Roman Reigns has done is stick a sticker on his fucking hair. Body chest. Big fucking whoop.
Okay, well, you say they've got. You say Roman Reigns has got the same four moves, but I hate to break it to you, dude. That's everybody in the WWE. Everyone has a small roster, like a small set of moves. They only have like four or five that they really get over. And that even goes for Cesaro. Neutralizer, big swing, uppercut variants. That's Cesaro in a nutshell. You can't like hold Roman Reigns to a different standard of what you hold everybody else to, because the guy is more than adequate on the microphone. The guy's got a fantastic look. He's getting better on the mic. He's getting better in the ring. And he had the best match of the night as far as I'm concerned tonight.
But the question, though, is how has he evolved?
Has he evolved? Mm-hmm. His microphone skills have evolved. I think he's gotten his moves significantly more over than when he was with the Shield, because he was just the spear guy back then.
And now he's just a Superman punch guy with a spear.
Yep, that's evolution.
Well, he added that kick he does on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's got taunts, which are over his shit now.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
That's all you need to be a superstar, dude, is a few taunts and a few special moves.
Fucking The Rock got over with putting his eyebrow, throwing his elbow pad into the crowd and doing an elbow drop.
Yeah, you want to shit on moves? The Rock had a fucking elbow drop where he ran backwards and forwards and stopped, lost all momentum, and dropped a shitty elbow.
Obviously, it's the worst move in wrestling. You know, it's next up, it's something with the worm.
Oh, the worm is like another fucking level of terrible moves. And yeah, people loved it. Awesome. People fucking loved it. If Scotty Too Hotty came out today, he could still do a worm, and it would be one of the most over fucking things on the show.
Not that fucking mm-hmm. I'd chant along with it.
Exactly. So what the fucking hell's your problem with the Superman punch? A sweet ass move for one.
It looks fucking awesome.
And by the way, the one he did on the apron tonight, fucking awesome.
Mm. Even the really quick one he did at the end of the match.
Oh, to stun him for the spear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like this whole match as a whole was just fan fucking tastic.
You know, I feel like the Superman punch would really only work with Reigns, and it's mainly because of what he wears while he goes out there. You know, the vest and the things, you know, makes him look special ops. He would have a punch in him.
I do think he needs to do something with his entrance and his gear. I think it is holding him back. That's a fair statement,
but it's not like hindering him to a point where he's awful.
It's not, but I just don't understand why he comes through the crowd at this point. He's not exactly a man of the people. In fact, a lot of people fucking hate him. He should probably stay away from the crowd.
Surprised nothing exactly happened to him yet.
Then again, like, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose came through the entrance and fans still got to them.
Yeah, I think maybe, yeah, he might be better off staying in the crowd at this point.
In fact, the only time Roman Reigns has even been attacked is when he was in the ring. Threw the fucking briefcase at him. Oh, that was fucking crazy. Well, yeah, Roman Reigns advances. Who's he going on to face? Oh, he's faced the winner of Alberto Del Rio against Kalisto. Another tournament matchup we had tonight. Del Rio won this with his corner foot stomp thingamajigger. I don't have much memory on this match. I do have one thing I have to say about Del Rio's finisher move, and it's that it's awesome, it's vicious looking, but it's a little unbelievable that you're going to get someone in that position every match. Mm-hmm. So I think they need to be a little more sparing in how they use it.
That kick should be his main finisher, his arm breaker should be his second, and that should be a special one he breaks out in long 20-minute matches.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight was an interesting way of getting Kalisto back in that position. Like, they kind of had a struggle backwards and forwards on that top rope.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun, but I don't need to see that every match, because it's already starting to lose it all. Because every time you hit it, you used to go, oh, fucking hell, that's sweet. Now it's just another mover game.
Mm-hmm.
So he needs to fix that. I really wanted Kalisto to win this match, and I went in thinking that he was going to lose. But part of me was like, well, he beat Ryback. Wouldn't it, like, it would have been so cool just to build a star from this tournament. Just had Kalisto break away from Sin Cara and just go all the way to the finals. It would have been something different. But Del Rio won. We all expected it. And Mex Americans is still forced. And Christ, if you're going to bring Zeb out in your entrance, pull the flag out correctly, you dumb fuck.
So, you know how Triple H went back to, like, each of these guys' locker rooms and, like, talked to them? Do you think he did that for Kalisto?
I doubt it.
Oh, here, we got a good question from the chat room here. Silent Wind of Doom says, one of my friends asked, what is the national anthem for Mex America?
Mex America, fuck yeah!
That's a good answer. Awesome piano man, Jose, can you see? Points, awesome that, piano man.
Not off. Not the fucking park.
Yeah, that's got to be Spark My Words. So I'm making note of that. Let me go ahead and copy and paste this in the chat room here. Sean, you have anything to say about Alberto Del Rio and Kalisto?
Nope. It's Alberto Del Rio. What do you expect me to say? I tune off every time he comes on the television. I tell you what, though, I do miss his cars. I miss his pyro. And I miss the fat Spanish announcer guy.
I do miss Ricardo.
I do too.
Lilia needs to stop speaking Spanish as well.
Oh, God, it was fucking horrendous just when fucking Kalisto terrible. Was coming out.
It's so bad. Just stop. Stick to your first language, babe.
Like, do you think the Spanish-speaking people really get that excited about it when they hear that?
Nope.
Nope.
Like, anyone out there who's, like, from a traditional Spanish-speaking family, can you tell me, like, does this, like, get you excited?
Oh. Oh, they're in our native tongue. We like that guy extra now. Woo!
Fucking assholes.
But I mean, even just, do you just get a rise out of the show even acknowledging, like, hey, we're going to speak Spanish for 3 seconds?
That's the thing with Lily, and every time they, like, give her anything independent, it's like, hi, I'm Latina.
Kind of. Doesn't really look like it, but kind of.
Well... All right, we had 3 seconds they gave in memory of Nick Bockwinkel, who passed away this weekend. That was nice of him.
Yeah. And Vern Gagne felt like not holding the AWA title. Nick did.
And they've said if you wanted to learn more about him, go to WWE.com, where they have the full like video that they have. They really couldn't give like a 3-minute video to the memory of Nick Bockwinkel on Raw.
Well, if anyone is interested in Nick Bockwinkel, as far as WWE content goes, check out the AWA documentary they did. It's actually not bad. It's quite, and you'll learn quite a few things about AWA, including Nick.
Didn't Nick Bockwinkel do some like commentating and stuff for WWE even?
I can't say. Yeah,
I think WCW. I'm not sure.
Oh, I think it was WCW. Maybe it was both. I don't know. But, I mean, this guy is one of the biggest names of all time. You could have done a minute or two or three for it. It wasn't that big. Ah. When you think about some of the people they have done videos for.
Yeah. Think about it. Yeah, dedicated a whole show to someone who killed his family.
This is true. This is true. Well, we had a tag match, the Dudley Boys against the Ascension. Yeah, we had it.
Yeah, all I got from this was the Dudley Boys got pissed off when the Ascension said something to them and just kicked the shit out of them.
I think the more interesting thing right now is that Jason Jordan and Chad Gable have been calling out the Ascension on NXT. So I think that means the Ascension's being sent back to NXT.
Ah, well, I'm sure that, this loss will do wonders for them.
It's like...
You know you suck when you're on the main roster and the NXT guys are calling you out.
And it's not even like they've hung around there all this time. You know, like, Sasha Banks was still there for a while after she got called up.
Uh-huh.
Like, they've been gone off that roster for at least almost a year, I feel like.
Yeah, they haven't really made any appearances. They might have done one or two, like, matches or a shitty battle royal or something.
Were they even in that tournament?
No, they weren't, were they?
I don't think they were even in that tag team tournament.
So White, like, yeah, they fucking dropped. And that's a shame, because they had a good, like, that wasn't into their act, but I had a good feeling about them.
I thought it was, like, a nice throwback kind of thing. I guess this era just can't handle that kind of tag team, which makes me worry for a team like Dash and Dawson.
Well, they got fucked by coming up to the main roster and everyone going, oh, you're just a fucking ripoff, you jackass.
And then, rather than trying to hide it, they just completely acknowledged it.
Yeah, and you had JBL on commentary just shitting all over him. And
the fucking New Age Outlaws come and just beat the shit out of them.
Fuck me. They didn't stand a chance.
No. And it seems like they just completely dropped that whole thing with Cody, too.
And that had legs.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Yeah, what happened to this Star Dust section?
I don't know. I don't even know what happened to fucking King Barrett and Stardust.
I think all those things were dropped. And again, this whole Seth Rollins thing just made them forget a lot of things. Interesting how that works.
Wish I could forget the fucking main event.
Well, with that, we actually come to the end of tonight's Raw. We've talked about everything. So we have a few minutes left here while we wrap up some other things. So if you want to get your thoughts into the chat room on Twitter, get them out there soon to get them heard on the show here. In the meantime, we're going to start wrapping things up here with us. First thing we're going to do is recap the show with our good, our bad, and our ugly. We're going to talk about what the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most god-awful must-avoid part of the show was. Yes, it is the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about the worst, the best, and the most god-awful part. The fuck you laughing at, Drew?
That was me.
What the fuck you laughing at, Sean?
Wago's broken me. I gotta mute myself.
Wago broke you? What the fuck are you talking about, Wago?
I said something really offensive in the chat.
I'm afraid to look. Is that going to be my ugly for the week? All right. Well, Drew, what's your good, bad, and ugly?
My good for tonight definitely has to be Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose. I really enjoyed that match. And also, I will give him another good for the opening of today's show, or tonight's show, you know, all that shit that's been happening, you know. At least they acknowledge it. It might have been a little too late, but hey, you know, still I think it's cool that they went out of their way to, you know, show respect to the people in Paris. My bad for tonight definitely will have to be the New Day and just that match in general. If we're my ugly, I really don't have one, but for all intents and purposes, let's go with the Ascension, because they fucking suck.
Okay. Sean, you have a good, bad, and ugly?
The good?
Fucking drunk?
I think he's still laughing.
The good is I'm going to go with Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose. I really enjoyed that match. The bad.
Well, is he gone?
John?
Sean's cut out.
Well, y'all know what was to do with sheep, so that's what happened.
No, yep, Sean's gone. All right, Wago, you're good, bad, and ugly.
All right, well, for my good, I have to give it to Cesaro vs. Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns. great match. Can't say any more good things about it. As far as the bad goes, I'm going to give it to the New Day. That whole segment, including the match, was just a dud. And for the ugly, do I really have to say it? That fucking awful, terrible, puss-filled main event. Dog shit! What the fuck were they thinking? Seriously. And it's gotta be the worst goddamn main event I've seen in a long time.
Alright, Sean, you wanna finish your good, bad, and ugly?
Yeah, the good was Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler. The bad was Roman Reigns' win. And the ugly was the whole Divas thing.
No big surprises with a lot of these. So let's check out ones in the chat room real quick. We got Silent the Doom saying the good, the return of Bray's sheep-masked lackeys. Bad, the return of the network selling segment, although Byron's dance was hypnotizing. Ugly, Reigns hulking out. of Cesaro's sharpshooter to crossface. Awesome Piano Man, good. Sean's grin, bad. Drew's tan, ugly. Down syndrome. Well, that's a true one. For me, my good is going to go to the Cesaro versus Roman Reigns match. That one match was just a lot of fun. There was a lot of good matches, so for that one to come on top says a lot. Bad, definitely the New Day this week. After, I got to say, like, what, 3 or 4 weeks, they were probably my good. Got to give them my bad. Ugly, absolutely, that main event Divas segment. It was fucking atrocious. It set women's wrestling back 10 years. This was supposed to do something that was taking it to the next level. This hurt women's sports more than the Ronda Rousey loss. Let's go with that. Hurry, get back in. You're the only one who will read Awesome Piano Man's Ugly. I read it. Yeah, you're good. So my favorite commercial tonight, I actually slacked again. I didn't get it. Did you guys get anything?
No, I pretty much left the room every time a commercial came on to eat food or do something else.
I don't know why. Do you guys get, like, local commercials that are, like, really bad? Because
I get some really bad local commercials with shitty fucking, like, car salesman advertisements, especially from Big Bob!
I get worse ones. My high school and the county that I live in, they have, like, this anti drinking under the age thing that they really do, and there's these terrible commercials of, like, this girl running out of her house and falling on her face, and then she wakes up at the hospital and goes, hey, don't drink. Now with the school of all these people, I'm just like, you guys are fucking losers.
Oh damn.
All right, so we still got some time left on the show here. The chat room's asking for a game, so let's give them a game.
Oh, we've actually got some people for this for once.
Oh, time to pick up the AWA stuff.
Great.
So let's do a game of Tap Out. And since there's been a lot of things going on with this, let's do a Tap Out based on 3-man tag teams. Sean, you can start this one.
The Shield.
Ooh. Drew?
The New Day.
Wago?
Freebirds.
Sean?
Evolution.
That's a 4-man.
Not the new one, you know. Batista, Randy Orton, Triple H one.
Touche. Drew?
Can I say at one point? Legacy.
I'll allow it. Wago?
Four Horsemen? I mean, they wrestled in combinations of three at times.
Okay, no, that's pushing it.
All right, I'll take the Tap Out.
Okay. Sean, you got any more?
The NWO.
Oh, okay, yeah, the initial NWO, yeah. Drew?
The Outsiders. Damn it, no.
That is the NWO.
All right.
Yeah.
We have a winner. Sean Walker. Sean, you fucking won.
I know.
I'm fucking impressed. Good job, dude.
Me too, bud.
And you know who else won? Roman Reigns.
Fuck off.
Well then, you might want to watch your words, Wago, because Sean has the power to decide who's going to do the plugs and how they're going to do them.
Oh, definitely Stephen Wago.
I've got no standards.
In the form of Roman Reigns.
How do I do a Roman Reigns? Like, he just talks monotone.
Well, I guess that's how you're going to do it. Oh, so that one to Doom saying, if no one comes up with 3-man band, I'm going to be sad.
Oh, my God. Oh, I could have set the Union Jacks.
The Union Jacks, yes. That's kind of disappointing when I missed that. Oh, all the Divas. 3 teams, freaking Team PCB, Team Bad, Team Bella.
We're really bad at this game.
Yeah, you guys definitely bombed that one. Disappointed with you guys. All right. Awesome Piano Man saying, suffer and succotash, check out Drew's page. That's how you do a Roman. All right, so that's going to start wrapping us up for the show here, guys. We're going to let Wago tell you all about some other things we got going on in our world that y'all should be checking out, and he's going to tell you it. Well, I guess it's not Wago telling you. It's going to be Roman Reigns telling you. Roman, take it over.
Ooh. I'm a little teapot. Check out Drew's stuff. Do you remember that awful commercial? That was shit. Also, check out Sean's where he'll be pissed. Happy Pope Gaming's Premier Pals. Also, check out Mega Powers Radio every week for more post-Raw show and... I ain't got nothing else to do for Roman Reigns, guys. Check out StephenWago.com. Yeah, just find us by our fucking names. You can figure it out.
Believe that.
Should have just said
believe that.
All right, folks. Find links to everything involving the Raw Post Show by finding our home on smarkoutmoment.com. We're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, and of course, we're live every single Monday following Raw. Megapowersradio.com is the place to be for the most interactive post-Raw experience available. Thank you to all of you who are out there tonight. We have a really packed chat room. Cool to see all you out there. Believe that. Should have finished with that, Wago. All right, folks. Thank you all for joining us tonight. For Stephen Wago, for Drew White, for Sean Walker. We thank y'all for joining us. You have a good night, and we'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.